God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will, not mine, be done. Welcome to this meeting in Sexaholics Anonymous. This is a closed meeting. Only the conference attendees registered as sexaholics may attend this meeting. SA is an anonymous program. Many of us carry mobile devices capable of audio and visual recording. To maximize our commitment to anonymity, we cannot allow the use of these devices for recording of anything inside this conference. This is a topic meeting. The topic for this meeting is
the gift of staying.
The gift of staying. Thank you. I have asked a friend to volunteer to share the opening reading for this topic, and I'm believing this is recorded, so we're going to have you come up here to read it, please.
My name is Rick. I'm a sexaholic. Gift of staying from the White Book. We don't claim to understand all the ramifications of sexual sobriety. Some of us have come to believe that there is a deeper spiritual significance in sexual sobriety, while others simply report that without a firm and clear bottom line, our cunning, baffling, and powerful sexaholism takes over sooner or later. Nor do we claim that sobriety alone will lead to a lasting and joyous recovery. Like alcoholics, we can be dry without being sober in a deeper sense. We don't even claim that sexual sobriety will make one feel better immediately. We, like other addicts, can go through withdrawal symptoms when we give up our drug. Nonetheless, in spite of the questions, struggles, and confusion that we have gone through, we find that sexual sobriety is truly the key to a happy and joyous freedom we could otherwise never know. That's why we keep coming back to SA. And it continues on a different page. It's important to know the time scale here and the pain scale. Years. And yelling, running, and walking through loads of pain. Years and pain, that's what it took for us. The pain got so bad for me that I had no choice but to start working the principles embodied in our steps. And that's when things started slowly turning around. Mere sobriety, even lengthy sobriety, hadn't healed me or the marriage. Going to meetings? Big deal. I had to start seeing and changing me, or the pain would keep returning and the marriage keep dissolving. I was like the man the alcoholics talk about who, every time he went through a certain doorway, got hit over the head with a 2x4, but he still kept on going through that same doorway. The brick wall syndrome. If you run up against a brick wall, keep battering it with your head. Finally, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of clobbering myself with my own 2x4 ego. The principle of the 10th step was the key for me, whenever I was wrong, to promptly admit it. I began making amends to my wife. Each time we have an argument or there was emotional pain, I'd get away somewhere and do a short written inventory on it. I began to believe what it says in the 12 and 12, that whenever I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. What was I feeling? Why? Where was I wrong? Then, trying not to remind her of her wrong, I'd confess my own and walk away. Often I'd have to say it in a note because I was afraid I'd open my big ego and hurt her again. I was beginning to conceal the glorious story of how right I was and to confess where I was wrong. It worked. I felt better. I started making similar amends to the boy. I was wrong for rejecting you when I chewed you out about that misplaced tool. I got good feelings inside whenever I did this. I got stronger. I sinned against them less often. The key to my joy was seeing, admitting, and correcting the way I related to others. Wow, there's more. I had made those big, grand amends as soon as I had come to the program, such as, I'm sorry for all the wrong I did to you, and all that good stuff. But that never changed anything. I had always said, I'm sorry. It was the little, specific, daily amends that started making the big difference. I fixed the damage to the back door. I enjoyed it. I discovered I liked fixing things. I liked fixing me. And I liked fixing the marriage. I had always been the one who wanted to be fixed. But I had to stop trying to fix her. I began taking an interest in what she was interested in. The house, her stained glass, my responsibility as a provider. All the while, I kept coming more and more off lust and my other spiritual drugs. Resentment, anger, hostility, fear, dependency, judging others, people-pleasing, self-glorification. They all began to yield once I could start seeing and accepting what I really was, my defects, and taking God's action on it. After 4 or 5 years in sobriety, the difference in the marriage and family relationships was markedly better. The breakthrough had been made. Thank God, and thanks to the patience, love, and understanding of the wife and children, the older ones had long been gone from the home. I knew it, and they knew it. No matter what happened, things would never be the same. And as with sobriety, we still have a marriage one day at a time. We had crossed the threshold into a new beginning.
Thank you, Rick. Sexaholic. And for the next few meetings, I will share my experience, strength, and hope as it relates to the topic, after which my co-leader will also share. When we have finished sharing, the meeting will be open for others to share. May I ask the timer to please time me and my co-leader for 3 minutes each, please.
You bet.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay. Again, Todd, sexaholic. So the gift of staying, for me, that really hits home. I would go through this cycle early in recovery where I would come to a couple meetings, feel better about myself, and then I'd have to go feel a little bit worse about myself. And eventually my sponsor noticed this pattern, which on some days I still struggle with, of going out for more pain, so to speak. And he eventually said, hey, you know what? You can just stay. You don't have to go back out. You can stay in the meeting. And I learned this cycle of, you know, go out, act out, feel terrible, come back into the meeting, get some accolades of, hey, you're back. Great. You know, hey, awesome. You're going to do it this time. And then get a couple of days of sobriety and then go back out, get more pain. Thank God I have close to 5 years of sobriety, which took a few years in this program for me to get. I shared early this morning that this is my family. SA is, believe it or not, a healthier family than I grew up with. So, I'm very grateful for SA in my life. And I'll just read this. This was sent to me by my sponsor the last couple of days. And it really says it for me. So, belonging and acceptance. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop lusting and become sexually sober. SA, page 209. There are basic human emotional needs to belong, to feel loved, to feel accepted, to feel needed or important. Tradition 3 tells me that so long as I have the desire to stop lusting and become sexually sober, I belong in the SA fellowship. I belong on the days I feel good or bad about myself. I belong on the day after I have given up my sobriety. I belong 1 year later as I receive my chip. I belong on the days I do not feel like doing service work or readings. I belong when I am inspired to serve in a spiritual responsibility and joy. In the spirit of responsibility and joy. I belong anytime I can find a meeting. I belong when I start a meeting to help myself and others. I belong when I do not feel appreciated. I belong when I forgive and accept others. I belong when I feel lonely. I belong when I reach out to the one who seems lost and scared. What a great privilege to belong. As long as I want to stop lusting and become sexually sober, I have a seat at the table and a fellowship from which I both give and receive help. I've always been accepted, and I have learned to accept myself. Nowhere else in the world have I found such a place. Higher power, help me be grateful for my addiction because it gave me an opportunity to belong and be accepted, even when I did not possess the serenity to accept myself. Thanks. I'm Todd.
Thanks, Todd. My name is Jack, and I'm a recovering sexaholic. I was reading through this, the opening statement, and saw a number of different things that struck me about the gift of staying. We know they say 90% of winning is just showing up. So showing up is really important. It may not be the only thing, but it's definitely a plus, that's for sure. I think the important thing that I found is with the sobriety, and it tells you that the sobriety is not the old overall end all, but it's other things as well. The deeper spiritual significance in sexual sobriety, and for me that is basically my character defects. You know, it's what got me to where I was. And the thing about the sobriety, I have about over 8 years of sobriety now. The thing about the sobriety is it clears away my vision so that I can see more clearly what my defects are. You know, once I'm in the bubble and I'm still doing with my lust, I don't see clearly. I don't see all those things that I really need to pay attention to. Just yesterday, I had a terrible argument with my wife, and it was really bad. But, you know, thank God, things went well. It got better, and I started to we made amends, and I started to do some rethinking about how I handle that, because I know it's going to happen again, and I just want to make sure I don't relate to it in the same way I did then. And that's what she's having some cognitive problems, so. Mere sobriety, even lengthy sobriety, would not be healing. The 10th step was important, and promptly to when I was wrong, promptly admit it. That was a hard thing for me to do. My sponsor, especially through the 4th step, boy, was that difficult for me, man. He could tell you about that. Whenever I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. I said, what? Something wrong with me? And I go over these different things. How the hell is that wrong with me? You know, and I had to look. I had to look how I handled the argument. So the gift of staying is really important. It's not just going to the meetings, but continuing to work in it. And I'll pass this on to anyone else who wants to.
I got something. Go ahead. All right. The meeting is now open for sharing. So as many as possible can share. Please keep your. All right, cool. My time's up. Keep your shares to the time limit of 3 minutes. We ask that sharing be pertinent to the topic. We don't take the inventories of others. That is, we uncover and work on our own defects, not those of others. We avoid politics, religious dogma, and other divisive issues. We avoid explicit sexual descriptions and sexually disrespectful / abuseful language. If someone feels the share is too explicit, they may signify by raising their hand. We do lead with our weakness and take the risk of total self-disclosure. Please raise your hand and introduce yourself by your first name before sharing. The meeting is now open. This is a recorded meeting. If you want to form a line, we please ask that you kind of file down the wall there, but the floor is now open.
There we go. That's better.
Good.
I'm John, recovering sexaholic. And I came here purposely because I like that topic. Because if someone told me in December of 1995 I would still be here in 2025, I would have said, you're crazy. I thought I was going to come in this program, get what I need, and probably just leave and said, you know, I'm healed. I don't need this anymore. You know, because the church I was going to said, you don't need the 12 steps. There's only one step. It's Jesus. And I'm going, well, I tried all the Bible studies, all the service. I was even a Protestant missionary overseas in the Philippines, and I acted out there, too. So nothing seemed to be working for me. The only thing that worked for me is actually coming to the meetings, getting sober, working the steps, and also helping other people. That's the thing that helps me as well. Because what stuck out to me in that reading was that even lengthy sobriety, and I've had lengths of sobriety. You know, I wish I could say I've had 30 years, like some people, but I don't. You know, I've usually had that better idea. You know, it seemed like a better idea at the moment, and then I went out and I would do something, make a stupid decision. Part of that was also to drinking, too. I mean, I'm now a grateful member of AA since March of this year. And that's really been helping, because I was usually the same story for the last several years. I'd be having something to drink, and then all of a sudden I'm uninstalling my Covenant Eyes or filters on my computer, and I was off to the races. And so that didn't help. But it's been working the last few months. I'm almost 6 months of that program, and almost five months in our program right now. And I just said, you know, I attribute that to just working both programs side by side. And I probably will be in a third program, because what do they say? You know, if you're not in three programs, you're in denial. And so I've heard it. So, but, you know, I'm just grateful to be here. And a part of my everyday, the things that work for me and to keep me staying and coming back is, I have a quiet time of prayer and meditation in the morning, including reading some program literature. I get on my knees and I pray the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, and I always ask God, please put someone in my life that I could help this morning or today. And even I got a call from a sponsor I'm sponsoring from Sudan. So I got to help him today. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, John. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Come on up. You don't need to raise your hand. You can come on up. That's fine.
Yeah.
Gotta be easier, yeah.
Okay. I'm Liliana. I'm a gratefully recovering sexaholic. My sobriety date is November 26, 2009. I came to my first SA meeting on March 7, 1989. And, you know, I thought we only had one meeting in San Diego, so I thought, well, that's what I need. I just need one meeting, and then I can be sober. And so that was my it was like medication. I'd go for my medication once a week, and then I'd be good for the week. And so I was very grateful for that one meeting. We have expanded in San Diego. So and now I'm mainly on Zoom, and I listen to a lot of podcasts that I get from other fellows. And, you know, I'm just really grateful that I have no illusion that of leaving the program because of the fact that I have to remember that I'm a sexaholic, and I'm not only susceptible to lust, a lot of it is just inside. It's not like I get, you know, I bump into a tree, or something. It's just always inside of me. And it can stir up for any kind of irritation, resentment, anger, fear. Anything could just bring it up. And this reminds me of being with other people that are also sexaholics, and you know, sharing in the recovery and sharing in the solution has been what keeps me sober one day at a time. Thank you.
I'm Rick, sexaholic.
Rick.
I wish it was like bumping into a tree sometimes, then I would realize what's going on, you know. What I wanted to share is that I, too, got here 30-plus years ago. And I didn't stay sober for the first 4.5 years. But at no point during that time period did I think that I was the guy that this program wouldn't work for. I wasn't that guy. Maybe that person exists somewhere, I don't know, but I wasn't that guy. I didn't stop coming. I didn't think it wouldn't work for me. I wasn't so uniquely qualified that this program wouldn't work for me. And that's what got me through those first 4.5 years. And then as I was sharing earlier today, this will surprise many people, but once I started working the steps, I started to stay sober. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Omar, sexaholic.
Hey, Omar.
Hello. Coming into the program, I didn't come straight to SA. I was looking for a meeting to look for help. I was on YouTube and I came across an ad called Unchained Leader. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, but it deals with the same thing with sexaholism and adult content. I was looking for help so much that I ended up having a meeting set up with this coach in Unchained Leader. But I was happy. I was thrilled to finally get some help. And ended up having this meeting with this coach. And 10 minutes prior, I was just, you know, praying, thanking God, like, finally, thank you for sending someone to help me. Then 10 minutes pass. It's the time of the meeting, 1 p.m. And then 10 more minutes pass. It's 1:10. 10 more minutes pass, 1:20. 10 more minutes pass. I went and acted out. That kept on going for about another month or so, because I was just, you know what, why bother? I'm just going to be in my own self. Then I came back to looking for help online. Then I came across SA. I came across someone who's in the program named Kevin. I hope I get to meet him someday. Kevin of SA. I think he was some point of contact to be directing people to meetings. He didn't pick up my call but the following day he called me back. And I thought, okay, there's someone that, you know, called me back and apologized for it and sent me to my very first meeting in West Hollywood at the Grove. And then since then, I've been trying to work the program. I've been on and off. Of course, my sponsor tells me, too, that no one ever works the program very well. There's not one person that works it perfectly. You know, I find comfort in that. You know, there's plenty of people that are like me and makes me feel, you know, that I'm not alone. So, you know, to this day, I'm still trying to work the program as much as I can, but that's up to God to work it for me. It's just for me to surrender and to accept that I will always have this battle with lust. But, you know, again, that's for God to take care of, and I just have to simply surrender. But, you know, that I of course, I have to work it with him, but that's about it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you,
thank
Omar.
Thank you, Omar.
My name is Gary, and I'm a sexaholic.
Hi, Gary.
I don't have any secrets, but I can tell you what I did. I came here in August of 1987, wasn't sober for 6 years. I think one of the reasons that I'm still here is there was a very old woman in Indiana that was praying for me. I didn't know that until I'd gotten sober. And she sent me a letter and said, I knew you were in trouble, and I prayed for you. Okay, that's one reason. The other is I had to be honest, and I tell my sponsor, look, this thing is not going to work for me. I'm not as smart as these guys. I don't have the social skills that they have. I don't know what's going on. It's never going to work for me. And he would always tell me, let God carry you today. You don't worry about anything. Just let God carry you today. And we'll deal with this tomorrow. Another way I was honest was that I had decided I'm never coming back. I'm not even going to go back to say goodbye. And a kid called me up. brand new guy. I met him at a meeting just before this occurred. He said, "Isn't this a great program?" And I go, "Yeah, it is. It's a great program." He goes, "I can't wait to. Are you going to be at the meeting tonight?" And I go, "Oh." I go, "Yeah, I'll be at the meeting tonight." And the only reason I went was to tell everybody off, to yell at them. And so we split into three groups. So I made sure I didn't go to the same group where this guy was that had such great high hopes for the program working for him. I went to another group. And I told them, "I hate you guys. I'm never coming back. I'm so angry." And an old timer came up. He's so old, he's dead now. But he came up to me and he said, "Gary, just call me tomorrow." That's all he said. And I don't remember what he said the next day on the phone. But I called him and I came back. It's interesting, that kid that called me and said what a great program this is. I don't think I ever saw him again after that next meeting. Mm. He didn't come back. But I did. I was given a gift. I cannot take credit for being here this morning with my clothes on and in my right mind. I can't take credit for it. There's nothing inside me that figured something out and got me sober. It's God. I was thinking about the fourth step because there's a workshop today, and I didn't do the inventory so I could find out what was wrong with me and blocking me from God, and then I'll fix those things. No, I'm going to identify them and work with my sponsor, and I'm going to ask God to remove them. So I guess the only reason I'm here is because of what God did.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Son, gentlemen, come on. That story was the classic definition of emotional blackmail.
Yeah, James Sexaholic. Yeah. For a long time, I was the guy hitting myself with a 2x4. I was under the impression that getting married would fix me. And every time I found myself slipping up or thinking, you know, lustful thoughts or going down that path, I would whack myself on the head and thinking, okay, maybe this time I'll get it. Maybe this time I'll be able to control myself. And the next time I would slip up, maybe I didn't hit myself hard enough, and that continued, and all that was doing was making my lust stronger and angrier, I suppose, and eventually that built up to the point where it had to get its way, and it came out sideways, as I've heard many people share of their you know, lust taking over them, their lives. It overpowered me, and I was absolutely powerless, and I could not manage it anymore. And that finally brought me to the point of realization where I couldn't control this thing. I needed to go and see something else. And it wasn't even anything that I did to bring that out. It was a kind of a long path to even entering the rooms in SA. All the readings that I've since read, you know, to the wives, to the family, everything in the white book that advises against, you know, spilling your guts out to your wife, I didn't do any of that stuff. I spilled my guts out to my wife and caused all that damage and harm that all the literature warns against. It wasn't until after that I started looking for help It was one of my wife's friends that recommended an intensive retreat in North Carolina. And it was there when I first heard of 12-step meetings for sexaholics. It was there when I first had that idea that, oh, maybe I am a sexaholic. And it was after that I was crashing at my aunt's place in Seattle to try to be able to visit my wife and kids, that her friend came by and she had long-term sobriety in AA. And again, I heard, you might need to go to a 12-step program. And then once I saw a therapist, he finally handed me the brochure, led me here, and I was finally convinced, this is where I need to be and this is where I need to stay. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, James.
Please come on up, Wayne.
Thank you. I'm Wayne, sexaholic. Thanks for letting me share. I have kind of a slightly different take on the topic of staying. I gotta admit, like, I'm overwhelmed and I'm drowning in people. And I work with the public. I'm in a business networking thing. I go to SA meetings. I'm part of a leadership team that does like a church-based 12-step program. And then I took a job as a live-in leader of a men's sober living home. So I'm never alone. And now I'm like, I want to run. You know, there's times where my prayer is like, God, get me a cave somewhere, please, where I can just stock up a fridge with beer and mind my own damn business. And that's, I'm glad that I have that awareness, because that's the voice in the back of my head is like, enough, when's enough enough? I don't have a moment for myself. And, but I know, I mean, thankfully I can hear that voice and I can hear it clearly, like, isolate, please drop everything, cut this crap and run. And after, you know, I got a couple years around here and I'm grateful that I can hear that clearly and I can recognize the insanity in that. And you know, all these activities give me life and at the same time drain every drop of life out of me. So it's like, it really is a conversation of stay. And not I'd never walk away from SA and Bible thing, but man, this house full of addicts, good God, you guys figure it out on your own. Like, I can't help you. But yeah, I think that's what I got. I need to stay. So thank you.
Thanks, Wayne.
Good morning. I'm Jeff, recovering sexaholic.
Jeff.
I've been in program around 15 years, and I didn't come in here because I wanted to come in here. I came in to get the heat off my back, and a therapist and my stepdaughter said, you better go there or else. The therapist turned me into child services, and my daughter-in-law researched Sexaholics Anonymous, and said, if you ever want to see us again, you'll go here. And she left, and I told my wife, screw them. What do they know? I'm going to church. But I'll go to a couple meetings and just prove them wrong. So I went to my first meeting, and a couple guys took me upstairs. One guy ended up being my first sponsor, and they shared their story with me, which wasn't too much different of what I did. And I said, well, maybe this will be okay. So they said, come back. So I said, well, what the heck? I was going to come for five meetings and get the hell out of here anyway. So I'll just come back and see, see what these guys are all about. So I did. And the therapist turned me into child services about 3 weeks after I came into SA. I'm in SA now, three meetings, and I'm a member now, and I'm getting recovery, and this guy turns me in, and I didn't do anything. I just took some pictures of my granddaughters, and my wife didn't believe me. She thought maybe I went further with it and told the therapist, and by legally, he had to turn me in. And I was pissed. I was like, how dare you? I'm talking to my sponsors, like, how dare that guy turn me in? And my life's a wreck. And he just looked at me, and actually looked at the guy next to me, because I'm just ranting and raving, and he's trying to talk to me. And he says, he's not listening to me. And I heard them words, and I said, okay, what do I need to do? And he was my sponsor up until I got up the steps 8 and 9, and he was stuck on 8 and 9, and he had to let me go. And I got another sponsor. But, you know, at first it was, what do I need to do? What are you going to get me? What, I'll do anything. And I didn't do everything. And I fought the system. I don't like rules. And the one thing they say is right around here, it's all suggestions. You don't have to do anything. You can walk out the door and act out if you want to. We'll be here. And I did what he said and worked some steps and got a new sponsor who got me more involved in service and doing meetings. But today, I don't have to be here. I could probably go home and stay sober. But I get to come here today. I don't have to be here. I get to come here. And that's the difference between coming in and not wanting to be here. I am blessed to be a member today, and it's only by the grace of God. I got a long story of how God pushed me and prodded me and drug me through into these rooms. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm Michael, sexaholic.
Michael.
Thanks, everybody, for being here, because I need to keep coming back. From the reading, I heard fixing. I don't think I like that word anymore, because when I hear fixing the marriage or fixing anything, even if it's for selfless purposes, I turn it into selfish really quick, because... as a sexaholic, I love being the dictator of other people's lives and fixing, and you need to do this, and let me tell you, blah, blah, blah. And somebody recently, I didn't like it. They put me in my place, and they were like, how much sobriety do you have? Do you think you should be telling people what to do? I'm like, okay. That was good, even though it, you know. And that's why I keep coming to meetings, because on my own, I've paid a lot of dumb tax. And there's other people in program who've paid a lot more and who have that much more experience, strength, and hope than I do to share. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm going to shut up. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Mary. I'm a sexaholic.
Hi, Mary.
So growing up, I learned how to leave. I'm the product of, I'm the oldest child of two parents that between them have been married 8 times. And my mom's a sexaholic. She's been proposed to like 13 times. But when things didn't work, she was gone. And I learned how to leave physically, and with my lust, and emotionally, just checking out. And this program is teaching me how to stay where I am. It gives me a safe place to learn how to grow and to be uncomfortable. We had a business meeting like a week or two ago about a person who had been disruptive, and the person was sitting right next to me. And it took every ounce of me to not get up and leave. And I didn't. I thought I was going to die. I felt like my insides were liquefying. And I stayed. And, you know, so as I continue to stay, I continue to heal and to have more relationships, because I didn't know how to have friendships or relationships. I knew mutual exploitation. And it is such a gift to just learn how to live life in a healthier way today by just staying. So, thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
I'm Ron, and I am a sexaholic.
Hello, Ron. Hi, Ron.
The gift of staying. We all get here by different paths. Consequences, court card, marriage problems, things like that. And what I've seemed to find out is it doesn't make any difference why you get here. It's staying here is the key to recovery. I stayed for a while because I wanted to find out why I'm like this. Like, coming to meetings, I'm going to suddenly realize all these different things, and if I know it, I can fix it. Well, I've come to realize that if I knew what it was, by fixing it, it'd be getting a sponsor, going to meetings and working the steps. And if I didn't know what it was, it'd be getting a sponsor, going to meetings and working the steps. So I was obsessed with why. And then when I realized it makes no difference, it's the secret to recovery for me, I found in the steps. And if I knew what was wrong or if I didn't know what was wrong, no difference at all. Another thing that really helps me is doing newcomer meetings. It gives me a reminder of what can happen if I don't keep in touch with the program, go to meetings, calling my sponsor and working the steps. And it's just a good reminder to see where I could be the following week if I decide, forget this, you know, I don't need it now. I've been in here for, you know, 12, 13 years, and I got it down. Well, that'd probably be good for a couple weeks, maybe. And I don't want to find out. I don't want to go back to where I was. So I'm working with a sponsor, going to meetings, and working the steps. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ron.
Hi, I'm Nathaniel, and I'm a sexaholic.
Nathaniel.
And I am more or less brand new to the program, so I'm still coming to terms with the fact that I have to stay forever because there isn't another option. Not for me, not for any of us. We could all quit tomorrow, and we would all either be back or dead by the end of the week. So I know I have to stay. I really don't want to. I keep thinking, well, maybe, you know, if I give it a couple of years, I'll come to program for a while, and then if I'm lucky, I'll be cured of this thing. And then every single time somebody else stands up, I have to remind myself that they all know that's not true. So, the motto is keep coming back. It works. If you work it, so work it because you're worth it. And I know that I have to keep coming back, not from an obligation, but because if I leave, I'll be right back where I was, and then I'll be crawling back in someday in the future thinking, why did I ever leave? That was stupid. So, anyway, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nathaniel.
Thanks,
Nathaniel.
All right.
This is Jack, sexaholic. Just a little bit of double dipping and listening to everyone. Some thoughts came to my mind. I also belong to a Weight Watcher program, and someone was sharing, well, people ask, well, how long are you going to keep coming here?
He says, as long as it takes. Wow, you know, that's basically what I'm doing here. You know, how long am I going to keep coming here? As long as it takes. So I have to ask myself, well, how long does that take? So my experience tells me that it's going to take as long as it takes until God calls me home. Once he calls me home, then I know I made it. Until then, I'm here for good, okay? So I guess the meeting also reminds me of who I am. Because it's really easy in the world to forget that you have a problem until the problem kicks you in the butt, and then it's too late. So I need to have that weekly reminder of this is who I am, and I have a problem, and I have to keep working on it. I can't just placate, be complacent, and say, ah, that's over with. No, it's not over with. I need to remind myself who I am, because I know if I don't, I'm going to go right back to where I was. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Anyway,
you've got time for about one or two more shares.
Jose, sexaholic.
Jose.
And I'm one of those guys also. I have three different groups, you know. So when I came in here, I was desperate. I was out of control, and I didn't know what to do anymore, you know. I pulled over, called central office, and they were giving me addresses and meetings, and I was parked right next to the building where it was at. You know, the meeting was going on. And and I looked at it, and I said, oh, you know what, next week, you know? And I drove away, and I did. I came back the following week, and right here in Long Beach, and I came in, and it was just like the other meetings, you know? There were fellowshipping, a group of guys, and they said, keep coming back, you know? It was just like the other groups that I asked myself today. I'm still fairly new. I'm like, why can't I get it? Just like my other groups, you know? It's been a while since I've, you know, done the other things. And it didn't happen overnight, you know? I had to get a sponsor. I had to do my steps. And that's what I'm doing today. And it ain't easy. I mean, what gets me into recovery, I live at home. I've been married 30 years, and I love my wife. I love my kids. And when the wife says, you know what, you got to get out. This ain't working. You know, I'm crawling back to these rooms, you know. So I want to stay married. I want to keep my kids. I want to keep my house. So I'm going to stay in SA, you know, for myself, because that's the only way I can do it. You know, with these meetings, with other gentlemen. Just yesterday, I was here. I was here yesterday, and I heard this guy sharing, and he was talking about how love changes, you know, when you get rid of lust. And I asked him after the meeting. I go, "What do you mean, love changes?" But in my mind, love is sex, you know. And then he says it doesn't have to be intimate. And I was like, what the heck? I couldn't relate, you know, because in my mind, love is still intimate, you know. And it's something I got to learn, you know. And I'm looking forward to it, you know. And that's what I'm doing here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you, Jose.
Hey, I'm Neil. I'm a sexaholic.
Hi, Neil.
Yeah, why do I stay? Had an old timer, Ted, tell me because I got nowhere to go. And it's true. I really don't have anywhere to go. But I stay because I want to be here. I love being here. I mean, I see people here. I see Liliana. I see Gary. And I see people that I'm here because they're here. Because Liliana was in the first meeting I ever walked into. And she gave me hope because she was sober. This guy I've known for over 30 years, he gave me hope. And so it's a gift to be here because my life was broken. It was depraved. I mean, I know what it was like to be a practicing sexaholic, but I don't know what it was like to be Neil in that life. I mean, I was angry. I was fearful. I was deceitful. Every negative you could think of, that was me. You know, it went way beyond the acting out. It was who I was, how I behaved as a person. And I'm not that guy anymore. I'm not that person. And it's because I stay. And I stay because I keep getting better. You know, the more I'm in this process, the better my life gets. And the things that go wrong in my life suddenly go right. I mean, my wife and I have been, we've been married for 43 years. She asked me to leave almost 5 years ago. You know, we're in the process now of reconciling. And that's because I've continued to be here. Things just change. You know, I can't explain what it is. And I've often thought that, you know, I feel like I'm getting better. And if I ever felt like I was done, I felt like God would probably say, it's a shame you left because you thought you were done. We were only at about 10%. We were just getting started. And that keeps me here because I continue to get better and I don't know what God has in store for me. And I'm terrified to leave to miss out on what that is because I know what my life was. And if I died tomorrow and went to hell, that would be better than where I was when I was an active sexaholic. I can't imagine what hell is because my life was that, and I don't want that. And God keeps blessing me with gifts, and as long as I keep getting gifts, I keep showing up here to receive them. And I'm grateful you guys are here, especially for those of you who are new. And hopefully there's somebody in this room that says something where you'll be here 20, 30 years later, and you'll say, you know, that guy was there. And I'm here today because that guy was there. So that you'll be blessed, because we all do bless one another. And thank you, too, yeah, for being there for me at the beginning, because I needed that. I needed the hope that you guys gave me to keep showing up. And here it is over 30 years later, and I still show up. So thank you.
Thank you, Neil. That's all the time we have for this meeting. If you did not receive a chance to share, please find someone after the meeting to talk with. This is an anonymous program. Please keep all names and shares you have heard in this meeting to yourselves. Our experience teaches us that attending meetings, working the steps, and giving and receiving sponsorship are key elements to maintaining our own sobriety. Would anyone willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor, please raise your hand. Great, thank you. Okay, so please note that on the ID badge with a blue dot indicates those willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor. I also want to thank Rick for both being the timer and for doing the first reading. Thank you so much for that, Rick. Okay, this is an anonymous program. Please keep in mind the names, email addresses, and phone numbers of anyone you meet or learn about in SA to yourself. What we say here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Okay, now I just want to ask a volunteer to read the closing readings. Let's just see, are we doing a reading or?
12 promises.
Oh, yeah, thank you. The 12 promises. Who can we have a volunteer read the 12 promises? This gentleman over here, Bill.
Bill, sexaholic.
Hi, Bill.
If you know the 12 promises, you can even join me. Fill in the blanks. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to
shut the door on it.
We will comprehend the word ready, and
we will know peace.
No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will
leave us.
We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
Heck no. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will always materialize if we work for them.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, after a moment of silence for the sexaholic who still suffers, please join me in the third step prayer. We'll just join me in the third step prayer after a moment of silence.
God, offer myself to thee, to deal with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. Back it works if you work it, and you're worth it. Work it. Sober.